The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Couples should plan for 50 guests at their wedding. That's the message from Tánaiste Dlí of Bradgar, who joined us on the programme yesterday. Now, that news over the past couple of days has caused great stress for couples around the country who had hoped that the guest limit would be increased to 100 in August. Now, many couples are arguing that it should not matter how many attend their wedding if the guests are all vaccinated. I put that to the Tánaiste Dlí yesterday, and this is what he had to say.
Well, how do you know that all your wedding guests are vaccinated?
No, but they don't get into the reception. They don't get into the hotel unless they've got the QR code that will be validated by the hotelier.
That's something we haven't explored. At the moment, the limit on the number who can attend a wedding is 50, and there isn't a requirement to check that people are vaccinated or not. In pure public health terms, you could allow people to attend weddings if they were fully vaccinated, but the issue would then immediately arise as to what you do with people who are not vaccinated. Would they then be uninvited? And what would happen with children? Would they be uninvited too? And I just don't think anybody wants to go down that route at the moment. I might be wrong, but I don't get the sense that anybody particularly wants to do that.
Well, the idea of no cert, no service was advanced by one of our listeners yesterday, and if that was made clear, perhaps it would work. We're joined by Sarah Kennedy from IrishWeddingBlog.ie. We're also joined by Eileen McCarthy and by Roisin Brogan, both of whom have weddings planned for next month. But we'll start with Sarah. Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So what is your reaction? Because we had hoped, obviously, and you had hoped, and all the people planning weddings had hoped, that by August, 100 people would be allowed at a wedding. And the Tánaiste saying a couple of days back, don't plan on it, please.
Well, I think this just comes back to the constant merry-go-round that couples have had over the last year and a half. We still, first of all, haven't had any official release of that statement to say that that is going to be the case. So couples are still a little bit in limbo, but it's for me and from the couples that I've been in touch with, it's not necessarily the people accept that they want to have a safe wedding, right? So that's not the issue, and it's not a disregard for public safety. The issue at hand here is the pure upset and the to-ing and fro-ing that couples have had to go through. There are couples planning in roughly 2 weeks' time to go ahead with weddings of 100. They now have to go through the embarrassment of uninviting guests that they've already said, please come to our wedding, on the basis that that Micheál Martin had said that, you know, for August we'll get to 100. Plus they've put money down. At this stage you would have paid off the majority of your bill with your venue. What happens to those couples now? What happens in that instance? Like, I woke up this morning to nearly 20 to 30 messages on my Instagram from girls that were not able to sleep last night. They're absolutely distraught. They had such high hopes. And yet again, after going through everything that they've gone through, postponement after postponement, getting a little bit of hope, it's now ripped from them. And in such a flippant way, to come out yesterday and just say, well, you know, plan for 50. And just what really is boiling pressure for a lot of people is just the fact that it was just a statement from Tánaiste yesterday where they haven't even thought about certain things, which shows that they're not thinking about it. They're not putting any, I suppose, prioritisation on this. And look, we know that there are bigger issues and there's big fish to fry here, but also this is going on way over a year, way over an accommodated time. They need to start looking at what is a solution. How can we move forward with
Here's the situation that you will have a restaurant which is allowed to operate at a reasonable capacity, you know, with the meter between the tables or whatever. People vaccinated will be within, but teenagers not vaccinated will also be in. But the theory is that the risks are fairly minimal if people are in family bubbles. A wedding... Mm-hmm. People tend to mix it a bit. I mean, I'm just thinking back to weddings and in the early hours of the morning, you know, the couple of lads in the corner of their arms around each other commiserating on the fact that they've no girlfriends or that they married the wrong one or whatever it might be. And, you know, we know drunkenness is a real issue. You know, all social inhibitions tend to become very limited at the end of a wedding reception. We know that. 100 versus 50, is anyone safer than the other?
Well, look, you have to look at it this way as well, that there are curfews in place, the same as a restaurant. There's a little bit more of a time with that. So you do have certain measures in place. And what I will say is that when wedding venues and hotels across the country went through all of their COVID processes and all of those different pieces, they went through it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that guests were safe. And they still continue to do that. So venues across the country were ready for 100 people to keep in a safe environment. There are so many restrictions around service that it avoids that happening in the first place. And the curfew is important. And look, while many people will say, oh, I hate the thought that there is a curfew, I hate that for my wedding day, it's keeping your guests safe. And I think that's the main thing. And also, we've no live music allowed, no live or loud music. So you're not getting that dance floor situation of everyone snuggled together doing Rock the Boat. That's not happening. And I think
you know, without the band, they'll probably la-la it anyway. You know,
there's a certain degree it is happening because, you know, this is the problem. Last time when we were allowed to have live music, that was managed and maintained and people had respect for those rules. Majority of people had respect for those rules and the social distancing on the dance floor. And look, it wasn't ideal, but people weren't still able to have that.
And I have great sympathy for the live music industry because they've been hit more than most and forgotten more than most. But you've got a band and it tends to be very loud. So what are we doing on the dance floor at a wedding? We're bellowing at each other. If anyone has COVID, everyone on the dance floor is going to get it because everyone is exhaling very, you know, either the exertion of the dancing or the shouting and roaring over the noise of the band. If you've got COVID, you're spreading it around. That's for sure. Now, 50 or 100, does that make any difference? I don't know.
Well, we're not experts in the 50 to 100. It's more the planning. It's not about the number necessarily. It's about the notice period and the organisation that's required for this. That's really the issue for me.
I mean, the other inconsistency that you can work out, if someone has the means to book out the hotel for accommodation as well, a hotel with, you know, 50, 60 bedrooms, book it out for the wedding, everyone in that hotel is entitled to dine.
Yeah.
So if you've got, you know, 120 people all booked into that hotel for the wedding, they can all dine. And so how does that conflict with a wedding reception?
Well, I think it's just as soon as you say wedding, that's the guideline. You stick to the wedding guidelines. But, like, I think it is. It's the irony of it that you can have this situation, you know, and I think that's it. And the problem here, Pat, is the fact that they're not thinking about it. They're not looking and bringing all the strings together. Yeah. It's whoever's screaming the loudest at that time, whether it's hotels, whether it's restaurants. They're putting those fires out based on how loud people are shouting. What we don't have is, and what the industry is working towards, is getting really strong representation for the wedding industry. And this has highlighted it. But they're still establishing that voice. And I really, really urge Taoiseach the Taoiseach to listen to the experts in the industry that will be able to bring those dots together and actually put out the fire and stop getting so much backlash, because this is affecting, you know, so many couples across the country. And they just need to be open to looking at what a plan, and a plan from week to week and month to month is not okay. A wedding we need to get a roadmap till the end of the year. And even if that's a conservative roadmap, it's a roadmap. People just need to know the path in front of them so that they can plan.
Now, Sarah, one question which a lot of our listeners are asking, and I'm sure you'll be asked on your own Instagram, how do you disinvite 50 people? I mean, what's the technique to tell people you've missed the cut?
Yeah, so look, and it's never easy, but to be honest, what I will say to couples, guests understand, right? So first of all, try and park the worry of letting people in. Look, of course they'd love to be there for your day, and of course you would love to have them there for your day, but just guests are so respectful. They know the pain that you're going through, so don't worry about that on that side, because you have to do what you have to do. So there's different ways that you can uninvite. So because you're racing against the clock, you're probably not going to have time to do a paper communication. So what you may want to do is do an email or do maybe a text, or pick up the phone and just have a conversation. Obviously getting through 50 guests or, you know, 25 phone calls is going to be a bit of a challenge. So you can actually get templates. I've put up a link on my website. It's up on irishweddingblog.ie, and there's wording on how you can uninvite in a nice manner. And there's links to downloadable templates that you can download to your device and then just WhatsApp and send it to guests.
Yeah. If they did allow vaccinated people to go to the wedding, it'd be very easy for people to disinvite people. You know, just say, look, I'm sorry, if you're not fully vaccinated and 2 weeks vaccinated, for example, you can't come just for health and safety. And people, they mightn't like it, but they'd have to accept it with dignity because that would be the rule. But we haven't got that rule as yet. Perhaps we will.
Yeah.
All right.
Hopefully,
Sarah, thank
hopefully.
You. People will obviously check out your blog and keep in touch with whatever wisdom that collectively you can make available to people. IrishWeddingBlog.ie is where you'll find Sarah's wisdom collected. Eileen McCarthy is on the line. Hello, Eileen.
Good morning.
You're having a wedding on the 20th of August.
I am, yeah, I am. And we have planned for the 100th. We only sent our invitations out last week, which, you know, it would be kind of considered late to send out invitations in normal times, just 5 weeks before the wedding. But we said we'd hold off. I kind of obviously knew about the Delta variant and the cases rising. But, you know, when I heard of the QR system coming in, I kind of assumed really that they would implement something like that with weddings because...
Would you be happy if the QR code applied to weddings and you'd say to people, look, if you don't have your QR code, I'm sorry, you can't come?
Well, I would, yeah. I'd be more than happy to do that. Like the scenario that Leo was given yesterday saying, you know, a third of the population isn't vaccinated. So at a wedding of 50, we can presume there's 16 people unvaccinated and then that goes up to 33. When it goes to 100, like, why would you assume that when you have the system there in place to have zero people at your wedding with COVID, like zero chances of spreading that? And then, like, his comment about nobody wanting to go down the route of uninviting unvaccinated guests to the wedding, like, I would much rather uninvite, like, my wedding is of 100 and looking through the list, I'm guessing there's about 5 that wouldn't be vaccinated by the time
my wedding comes. You're a nurse, Eileen. You know, in the health service, I presume. So therefore you'd be vaccinated. But also many of the people you'd be invited would be pals from your work.
And they would
be vaccinated.
They would,
Now, maybe their partners wouldn't be vaccinated, but I'm suspecting that the age group has come into the vaccination cohort. And then the in-laws and the family, the older family members, certainly all have had the access to the vaccination. So a lot of your people would be rationally, we'd expect them to be vaccinated. So what do you want the government to do?
I just think, like, it's not that hard to roll out the exact same system that's in the restaurant next door to the function room for a wedding. Like, you know, I'd be more than happy if they said, could you email on, get your guests to email on their QR codes before the wedding, if that's what they wanted, to be sure of the meal numbers. Or, like, in normal service, just when you come to the wedding, at your check-in, scan your codes and on you go. Like, it doesn't make any sense why that can't be implemented. It's there already, you know. It's not going to hinder the hotel. If anything, it will help them because it'll be a bigger wedding, more revenue for them. As it stands, most of my guests are booked into the wedding venue for the night. You know, are they all going to cancel? Are they going to book those rooms up again by the time in 4 weeks' time? You know, everybody is losing out here. Like,
oh, all right. Some of the comments coming in. I have a wedding plan for next month. The venue have put the following in place. Tables of 6. The same family hubs. In other words, all the people from the same family sit at the same table. No music, all off the premises by 11 p.m. No reason why we can't have 100, the same as indoor dining. Roisin Brogan, thanks Eileen, by the way, and let's hope that this is all resolved in time for your wedding, because you don't want to invite people, disinvite them, and then invite them again. They might have their noses out of joint. Roisin Brogan, good morning.
Good morning.
You are getting married the day after Eileen will have been married. That's the 21st of August.
Yes, we have. And we haven't sent out any invitations yet. We're leaving it late.
You're leaving it late. But you have a list, obviously. And, you know, are you looking at your list and putting a little asterisk beside the vaccinated people and say, well, they're good to go? And then a question mark beside others? And then, I don't know, you have any people who definitely will not be vaccinated, perhaps the under 18s, and you have to put a red light up to them.
Well, we initially planned for 100 fully vaccinated. So I've looked through my list and there's about 2 or 3 people that I can tell that won't have the vaccine or may not be vaccinated by then. But I was waiting to get the confirmation this week, and obviously we'll be asking people on the invite to let us know if they won't have the vaccine or not, and they won't be invited, unfortunately. It's just what we have to do. We've postponed this is our fourth day postponing now, so we planned vaccinated fully only. And the other times we felt it wasn't safe. Our families weren't vaccinated, our parents weren't vaccinated, but this time it's very frustrating because we know that everyone there will be vaccinated. The hotel can police it with the scanner code they're going to be getting. I just feel it's very unfair when, like, the restaurant across the road and the bar across the road are much smaller than a big function room in a wedding, which is much better ventilated, easier to do contact tracing because everyone will be seated at a table plan. Most of the guests are staying in the hotel. You know, then the restaurant or bar across the road won't be as big as a function room, and they're allowed 100 plus.
What surprised me yesterday was when the Thornish said that they hadn't considered allowing weddings with fully vaccinated people, which would mean that some people, as I say, their noses might be out of joint. But one would have thought that they would at least think about it because, you know, by putting in the protocol saying, OK, the reception over 11 o'clock or whatever. But then, of course, if you're a resident in a hotel, you can go to the residence bar so things can carry on. I presume what they're trying to do is just, you know, there is no such thing as perfection in these matters, but they're looking at what they consider to be high-risk situations and saying, you know, weddings, drunkenness, falling around the place, much hugging, kissing, crying. It's a petri dish for infection if there's anyone there with the bug.
Well, that's not the case at the moment because weddings are so strict and controlled, more so than many bars and restaurants I've been to in the last few weeks. There's no music. Seated tables, masks when you're walking around. As I said, the majority of our guests are staying in the hotel if anything did happen. So much easier to contact trace. What annoyed me yesterday in the interview with Leo Radhakar, really upset me, was he said in pure public health terms, you could allow people to attend weddings if they were fully vaccinated. And then went on to say, but the issue would then immediately arise as to what you would do with people who are unvaccinated. Would they then be uninvited? And what would happen in children? Would they be uninvited too? I just don't think anyone wants to go down that route at the moment. Like, he shouldn't be making that decision for us. That's our choice to make. If we want to invite vaccinated only, the option should be there for us. And also, he was completely surprised when you even said to him, what about vaccinated weddings? You know, he said, how would you police that? And I mean, clear as day to anyone listening on the radio was with the same way you'd police it with the bars and restaurants, with the vaccine pass. And then for him to say they haven't even thought about it, and you could tell because he was completely baffled and surprised and he was stuttering. Like, no one has obviously discussed this, and it's just so obvious, you know, that's what should be done.
Yeah, and I mean, the idea that people would be grossly irresponsible. Now, we have seen grossly irresponsible weddings in marquees and so on, but the idea that you would put your nearest and dearest in danger by having an irresponsible wedding is not really logical. I mean, bride and groom don't want their honeymoon cancelled because one of them's got COVID. Elderly relatives at weddings, you wouldn't want to put them in harm's way and so on. All right, Roisin, I think this topic has not been exhausted by government by any means, so let's watch that space and see what emerges. Thanks very much for joining us, Roisin and Eileen, and before that, Sarah. Dave Brown of Picture House is on the line. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I am very well. I haven't seen you for ages. I hope that you're okay, but you can't be thriving in the absence of live gigs.
No, Pat. And, you know, I agree with what all your contributors have said up to now. And I mean, it's kind of the mindset, Pat, that's the issue as well. And I mean, even your good self there, you just said earlier on about people at weddings bellowing over the noise of the band. And that's an issue that we have as an industry very much dealt with coming up to this. And governments are well aware of it, Pat. We've been in negotiations with them and we've spoken to them constantly over the last 16 months since this all started, primarily to get some support for the industry we're in. Because as you know now, Pat, aviation is back, hospitality is on its way back. We are actually the last people standing now. We're at that point, which you've been actually saying over the years that, you know, they'll be the first out, they'll be the last back. We're actually here now. And we're very much aware that at weddings, you know, you don't be traipsing in anymore with huge big PAs and lights and blowing the head off the place. And I understand exactly why people would think that. So, you know, Live is Not Loud is a campaign that's going around at the moment, and I think it's a very, very good message to be sending out there that we are professionals. We've been at this 30 years as well, you know, Pat. We go back a long way. And we know that when we come into a venue in a controlled environment like that, that, you know, what's appropriate and, you know, blowing the place out of it is not appropriate at a wedding at the moment. So we are well capable of, in the wedding band industry, of putting on a gig at a very safe and enjoyable level for everybody there. And again, we were taken aback at Leo yesterday too, because we have been in, you know, we have managed to secure some funding for the industry through the Department of Enterprise and through the Department of Arts, as much as it, you know, in my own personal opinion, Pat, would be slightly derisory if I told you, you know, as an old pal, that since I've been closed for 16 months, I've been given a grant of outside of the PUP, Pat. I'll get into that conversation afterwards if you wish. But outside of that, my business has been given €2,500 to be closed for 16 months, which I find very derisory.
My goodness.
And then when you hear then, I suppose, Leo saying something like that, Pat, yesterday, it's just that we are ultimately not being consulted. We're not being thought about. And it's not just us. It's the poor couples. It's the venues. It's everybody. The stories of venues that have to charge for 80 meals to make the wedding viable, even though there's only 50 people there and all this kind of thing. And we just find it very, very frustrating, Pat.
All right. Well, I'll remember that live, not loud. It's a very good mantra. And I do hope that you can get back going again. Dave Brown of Picture House, thank you very much for joining us, because I suppose what would it be like, you know, a wedding without a tune? Wouldn't work, really. Wouldn't work at all.